Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to join you. Hope you are well. It is Tuesday, November 3rd. It is Election Day. Wherever you are and whatever your views may be, however you may feel about the candidates this year, I highly encourage you to get out and vote today if you can. It certainly is going to be an historic day for the near and long-term future for our country, so I certainly encourage you to vote if you have the opportunity. I also hope that you were doing well. You had a great Halloween, whether you decided to dress up as your favorite Memphis Grizzlies player or whatever costume you chose to wear this year. Hope it was enjoyable. We're now into the holiday season. I know a big debate is, you know, how early do you decorate? How early do you listen to Christmas music? However you choose to do that. I know I like to sprinkle it in a little bit before Thanksgiving. Hope you're enjoying your time. And of course, we are now also in draft season. A bit of an unusual spin, you know, with how crazy 2020 has been, but we are now 15 days away from the NBA draft. And we've talked about several different prospects that could make sense for the Grizzlies. We'll continue to do that. We've had a few guests on as well. We'll have a few special guests leading up to the 2020 NBA draft and who the best bets might be for the Grizzlies selection at number 40 overall. And speaking of bets, that actually is what we're going to talk about in our first segment. Yesterday, we saw the announcement of an historic agreement between FanDuel and the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm going to talk with you about why that's not just another news nugget, why it truly is historic, and also is a strong indication of just how of the impact that this young core of Memphis Grizzlies are already making on Memphis and the NBA as a whole. We'll go into detail about that. And in the second and third segment, we're going to continue our prospect profile series, looking at former Arkansas Razorback Mason Jones, a name that has become popular in Memphis over the past month or so. We'll look at why he could or could not make sense for Memphis. Of course, you can follow the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, and also you can get your podcast wherever podcasts are available. Spotify, Stitcher, the podcast app on your phone, wherever you may choose to listen to podcasts. And I encourage you to listen to it. And the main reason why is because of me. I don't mean to brag, but if you like energy, if you like passion, if you like hard-hitting perspectives and honesty, I'm the guy for you. I've been covering the Grizzlies now for a little over 2 years. I write and still write over at Grizzly Bear Blues. Enjoy giving, you know, written takes anytime I get the chance to, but also love doing this podcast. I cherish it on a daily basis because of how passionate I am about the Grizzlies, the NBA in sports, and just the ability to interact with those who I share passions with. So thank you so much for joining me on this ride, and I'm definitely glad every chance that I get on a daily basis to give you the best content and perspectives that I possibly can. But so now, the news came out yesterday. FanDuel, a daily fantasy site that a lot of us have known around, you know, the nation for several years now, they came into an agreement with the Memphis Grizzlies, and they now are official partners on a multiple-year agreement that really is bringing the FanDuel daily fantasy and betting experience to the state of Tennessee. Of course, this is also a development that has occurred due to November 1st being a big day for sports betting in Tennessee, and now it's now a part of what is available to fans and the fan experience in Tennessee. So why is this so important? Why is this a big deal? You know, not only for the state of Tennessee, not only for the Grizzlies, but also Grizzlies fans. Well, that's the big thing about it. It's an additional experience. It's an enhanced experience of being a Grizzlies fan for a variety of reasons. For one, Grizzlies fans, I know that they take pride. And as we talked about during the grit and grind era, you know, zigging while the NBA zags and things such as that, you know, being the underdog, not being, you know, a priority for national outlets and the NBA in general, and like other markets are. But when you want to, if you want proof that the Grizzlies are starting to become a priority for the NBA, look no further than the fact that this is the first agreement that FanDuel, this is the first official partnership that FanDuel has had with an NBA team. And it's also the first time the Grizzlies have had a relationship with a sports betting source in the history of the franchise. Why is that significant? Because it shows that a promotion such as FanDuel, that it basically is a big experience for fans across across the nation, it now has entered into an agreement with a professional sports team, and that professional sports team is your Memphis Grizzlies. We've always talked about what would it take for the Grizzlies to really become a priority for the NBA, to really emerge as, you know, in terms of marketing, in terms of, you know, national television appearances, in terms of being up there with other bigger markets as a priority for, you know, whatever it may be, to present the Grizzlies on a more national scale. This is the type of steps that it's going to take and that now have been taken. And it's a result of the excitement that's there with this young core led by Ja Morant. So it's really an awesome development to see FanDuel come into an agreement with the Grizzlies to provide not only different experience for fans, but also plenty of marketing opportunities and just enhanced brand exposure for the Grizzlies as well. But it's not mainly about the Grizzlies. It's about you, and that's legitimate. This is not something that's just being said to get you to focus on this agreement. It literally is an opportunity for your experience as a fan to be enhanced. Right off the bat, you can actually go to FanDuel.com/Grizzlies and learn all about a lot of special promotions, not only through sports betting, but daily fantasy opportunities, and also potential experiences in the near future. There are contests, there are daily fantasy opportunities, there are betting experiences, if that's your thing. All of that is included in one site with the Grizzlies being promoted, something that Grizzlies fans have wanted for years. And it adds to your ability as a fan. We all love going to games, but if gambling is something that you enjoy to do, of course, do responsibly, you now have the ability to do that through several opportunities that enhance your chances of winning through this agreement between FanDuel and the Grizzlies. If fantasy is your passion, you now can do daily fantasy options through the FanDuel websites and through their promotion with the Grizzlies without the commitment to, you know, a year-long, you know, fantasy opportunity. Whatever your enhanced experience may include, you now have several options through FanDuel that also could make your experience certainly worthwhile due to their promotion with the Grizzlies. So that's the big thing about this. The main benefactor from all of this is the fans. That's the wonderful thing about this relationship that's going to be in place for multiple years, and that it adds to the experience for fans, whether you're at the FedEx Forum or you're watching from home. It adds to your enjoyment of the game. And the big thing also is that this isn't just an agreement between FanDuel and the Grizzlies that's there to talk about for narratives. The reason why I feel FanDuel really focused on the Grizzlies as being a partnership for them is the potential that's there for Memphis, both from a fantasy perspective and from a betting perspective. The Grizzlies are an emerging young core. They're going to continue their journey towards contention. They could be a very popular bet when it comes to regular season and playoff matchups in the future that could result in a lot of fun, you know, money-making opportunities for fans or whoever does gambling opportunities. Also, from a fantasy perspective, there's a lot of opportunities there. The Grizzlies' style of play, their offensive potential, and the young talent that's on this team makes there be plenty of options that can fit into your daily lineups, which we will talk about in the future. So on several different levels, there's a great opportunity for this relationship to really blossom into something spectacular. For fans of the Grizzlies who have wanted their team to get the respect that they deserve for years, this is a step in the right direction. For fans of the Grizzlies who have wanted their experience as a fan to be enhanced, it does it on so many different levels. Whether you're at the FedEx Forum or from home, you can watch it for so many more reasons now and actually benefit. There's actually chances for you to win prizes and money and things like that, obviously enhancing your experience. And it also is one more indication of just how exciting this young Grizzlies team is from a betting perspective and a fantasy perspective. We've always talked about their potential as potentially being a sustainable winner and contender. Well, there's also now plenty of potential off the court to benefit you as a fan. So just in general, a wonderful development for the Grizzlies and for FanDuel. I think that this really will enhance and promote the potential that's there for the new opportunities that come through betting and daily fantasy in the state of Tennessee now that it's November. And I really highly encourage you, for again, going to FanDuel.com/Grizzlies. You can learn a lot more about it and learn how it can enhance your experience as a Grizzlies fan. Not only can you go to FanDuel and learn about their experience, you can also go to BuiltBar.com right now and enhance your daily experience of getting healthier. That's correct. You can actually go to BuiltBar.com right now and you'll get 20% off your next order of Built Bar. The reason why I encourage you to do that is because it doesn't take much to allow for Built Bar to really add to your plan to get healthy. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and you can have it in the morning for breakfast. You can have it before or after a workout, or perhaps in the afternoon where you're listening to your favorite Locked On Podcast Network show. It's a great addition to your day, and I can tell you this, once you order Built Bar for the first time, you'll make it a continued part of your day going forward. Again, if you go to BuiltBar.com, you'll have a wide variety of tastes that you'll be able to find. You're more than likely going to find one that you like. But if you go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code Locked On, you'll get 20% off your next order of Built Bar. So I had a wonderful time last week talking with Ben Pfeiffer. You can find my conversation with him in the episode from last week. It's wherever you choose to listen to podcasts, I highly encourage you to listen to it. It's a great breakdown of some names that the Grizzlies could focus on at the number 40 pick, of, you know, a lot of names who in general could be steals in that area. You know, some exciting prospects to look at that may not be talked about that much in this draft, and also just some different things about really looking at prospects that stand out as far as, you know, what could, you know, indicate good shooting success, what could indicate good secondary playmaking success, and things like that. Ben Pfeiffer just did a great job, educating us on names to look for in this draft, and also what to look at in terms of a prospect, you know, that's really looked at by NBA personnel to decide, you know, how a player may project. Twitter is a great place for a lot of draft minds. I know, for instance, I've talked with Jackson Frank before, among several other folks who have helped us, you know, break down Jackson Frank. I mean, came on with me previously in other podcasts that I've done and talked about Brandon Clark and broke down last year's NBA draft. He's another great follow. But one of my favorite follows when it comes to NBA draft season is Cosmis. It's at COSMIS. He's a wonderful basketball writer and does an excellent job of really taking statistical queries and showing how certain names, especially names that you may not know much about, really could stand out as potential steals in the NBA draft. And one of the names that he has mentioned on several occasions is, and has connected to the Grizzlies on several occasions, is Mason Jones. Well, back in August, you know, a little bit after the Grizzlies, you know, season had ended, he did a Twitter thread in which he really, you know, showed Mason Jones as being a truly unique talent. And I know that a lot of folks in Memphis really caught on to Jones from that point on, especially with the fact that he's kind of a local product, you know, here having played at the University of Arkansas for 2 years. However, Mason Jones has been known in scouting circles for a while. It's just the attention has really picked up in this draft, where steals are, you know, really trying to be focused on in a draft that overall may not have that many sure things. And for Mason Jones, the number one thing that really stands out about him is the one thing that is valued in the NBA right now, and it's the ability to score. Now, with Jones, it's a bit unique. We talk about these scores, and, you know, I've talked with you about, for instance, Jones' teammate at Arkansas. He's a scorer who has a lot of versatility in terms of the different ways in which he can shoot the three-point shot. We talked about Grant Riller from the College of Charleston. He's very resourceful as a three-level scorer, getting to the rim, shooting the mid-range, and finding his shot at the three-point line. With Jones, it's a mixed bag of how he scores, but he's very good at finding ways to score. He's a very nuanced scorer who could score at different levels, mainly from three and at the rim, but the ability for him to do it, resourceful is a good word, but I think nuanced is a bit better. He just has so many ways in which he can create opportunities to score. In other words, he's a bucket getter to a level that's hardly been seen really in the SEC over the past 30 years. And what first stands out about Jones is his ability at the rim. I know that the Twitter handle that I mentioned, Cosmis, he specifically focused on that, Jones' ability to convert shots at the rim. And it's not as if it's because Jones just has the ability to plow through his defenders, or, you know, it just, you know, he gets to the rim on a frequent occurrence. It's just the different angles. He has such good body control that even if he's off balance, even if he needs to contort his body, even if he's going left or right-handed, he has the ability to make his shots. The other thing about getting to the rim that also really stands out about Jones is his ability to draw fouls, which, as we know, in the the NBA nowadays is a skill that continues to gain more and more value. This past season, Jones actually led the NCAA, all of college basketball, in both free throw attempts and makes. And it's not as if he was a quantity shooter. He actually shot nearly 84% from the line, or 83% from the line. But that's the big thing about Jones, is that being 6'5", 200 pounds, it's not just the fact that he can get to the rim, but if he doesn't get his shot, he does have the ability to draw contact, and he's a very strong guard. He can live in the lane and get to the rim and be a consistent source. There's a very high floor with his scoring due to his ability to not only make shots from different angles at the rim, but also to draw fouls and his accuracy as a free throw shooter. But it's not just that. He is very skilled also from the three-point line. He does have step back. He has both the ability to create step back through ball handling and good footwork, and also has the ability to shoot range. If you looked at his first game from this past season against Rice, I think the first three shots that Arkansas made, or three of the first five shots, were shots that were from probably 28 feet or further away from the basket. So not only does he have range, not only does he have the ability to create the step back, Jones also stood out more as a self-sufficient scorer, a guy who could pull up on his three-point shots than a catch-and-shoot option. That is a big trait, being able to create your own shot, especially through different ways, and through step-backs or coming off screens or ball handling, however it may be. The more resourceful you are as a pull-up shooter in the NBA, the more consistent you'll be a lot of times in creating your own shot, especially for a team like the Grizzlies, who, as we mentioned multiple times, were the worst pull-up shooting three-point team in the league. There's a lot of value in that as a scorer. So you see, you know, a lot of trends in the NBA now focused on what can a person do at the rim and what can a person do from beyond the three-point line. Jones has shown the ability to be extremely elite in both areas, especially at the rim, but also resourceful from beyond the three-point line, and that really stood out with his, you know, ability in the SEC. As a matter of fact, you know, he was only the 10th player since the 1992 season that has averaged 22 or more points in the SEC, and you can count on one hand the number of players that have done it, especially guards that have done it while shooting over 45% from the field during the SEC season. He made nearly 54% of his two-pointers during his junior year at Arkansas. He also shot, like I mentioned, 83% from the free throw line, averaged 22 points. He also averaged 3.4 assists, 5.5 rebounds, 1.6 steals, and 3.2 turnovers. So again, it's his ability to score. The thing, though, that also, for him being such a resourceful and, you know, nuanced and just, you know, unique scorer, you know, his ability to find so many ways to get points, is the simple fact that his athleticism also stands out as a potential detriment, especially on defense. He has good instincts. His awareness is something that really adds to his ability as a scorer and on defense, but his ability to recover, his ability to switch, his ability, you know, to be off the ball and make things happen, you know, it's not there as much as you might like for it to be of a player his size. You can even see it when it comes to his ability to drive into the lane. There's not really a burst there. There's just good footwork and intelligence that allows for him to get to the rim, as also strength. So the intelligence, the instinct, and the strength are certainly something to work with, but it does seem as if Jones can be limited in the NBA due to his lack of athleticism. And where that could impact his ability to score is that the timing that it takes for him to do his step back, the timing that it takes for him to get to the rim, and the timing that it takes for him to do different things, his lack of quickness may make it easier for defenders to thwart his ability to score on multiple occasions. And so that's something that stands out. That's kind of what he keeps his ceiling limited, and why he's really, you know, projected more as a second round pick, maybe even to the point of being, you know, even a two-way type player, or at the very least a late second round pick who needs to spend time in the G League. However, with his ability to score and his ability to create buckets, and also his ability to create steals, 1.6 steals per game, you know, which is pretty good. You know, he has good instinct awareness, and he also works hard. So Jones also, with his resourcefulness as a scorer and the effort and energy and hard work that he puts in, Jones also stands out as a steal for good reason. There's a lot of effort in his game to be the best that he can be and improve. So Jones does stand out as a potential candidate who certainly could reach a higher ceiling than expected in this year's draft. So for a lot of reasons, Jones is a very intriguing prospect. And he also, in the circle of Memphis minds, when it comes to those people who have covered the Grizzlies and those people, you know, even, you know, as I mentioned Cosmas a few times on Twitter, he's mentioned the Grizzlies as being a potential, you know, a target for Jones. It's because Jones fits a lot of boxes for the Grizzlies. He's a highly productive former college player. He's a local product. He's high energy, high effort, adds a lot of value, works hard, and really values the ability to play basketball. And another big thing is that he is an instant source of offense, something that the Grizzlies certainly could use, you know, on their bench or as they develop, you know, when it comes to their backcourt. As their backcourt continues to develop. But just how much would Jones fit with such a deep backcourt already in place and the commitment the Grizzlies have made? We've had this discussion before about other players. How much sense does Jones truly make? Coming up, I'm going to look at it. Is his instant scoring truly worth investing in him than other players who potentially could have more overall upside? Or is Jones someone that, you know, just in all honesty, may not be worth as high of a pick at 40? We'll examine that here in just a moment. So as mentioned, the thing that really stands out about Mason Jones is his ability to score, and it's the self-sufficient scoring, the ability to pull up from three, the ability to find his shot in so many different ways at the rim, the ability to consistently get at the free throw line. That type of self-sufficiency scoring really stands out and makes Jones intriguing when it comes to his ability to be an NBA product. He also has some potential outside of scoring to add offensive value through assist, though his assist-to-turnover ratio was not too encouraging, one-to-one mostly in college, but also he is a decent rebounder for his size and certainly can't make contributions, you know, outside of, you know, his scoring. If his shot's not falling, he can, you know, he can find ways to add value. The downside, obviously, is his athleticism. He also will be 22 and a half years old at the time of the draft. And when it comes to his defense, not due to a lack of energy or a lack of effort or a lack of intelligence when it comes to his defense, but just in general, as he's put into more situations where he's going to have to, you know, overcome his, you know, inefficiencies when it comes to quickness and speed and, you know, reaction, that is something that does make him a risk. He does stand out as someone that I mentioned before, and especially when I was talking with Ben Pfeiffer, when you look at these offensive players, no matter how potentially exciting they can be and, you know, the potential value they can add offensively, do they negate it with a lack of defense? And with Jones, I don't think it's a lack of effort. It's just a lack of natural ceiling when it comes to his lack of athleticism. And that is something that could stand out. And that's one of the reasons why I think he truly, despite his scoring of resourcefulness, is there in the second round for the Memphis Grizzlies. But that's the thing about it, is that again, he emerges as another player who, despite the Grizzlies, you know, depth when it comes to their backcourt and the commitment that they made, you could see Jones definitely emerge as making sense for Memphis because he's got the one trait that the Grizzlies need, self-sufficient scoring. So that's why I think that when it comes to Mason Jones, he probably doesn't make sense for the Grizzlies at number 40. I think that there's other players who have higher ceilings and just more natural ability to reach those ceilings than Jones himself. However, I do think that the reason why Jones could be considered at 40 and why you don't necessarily mind him being the pick there, but especially being someone the Grizzlies could target if they wanted to get back into the second round and really take a target that could either be on a two-way contract or could be developed at South Haven, I think that's where Jones makes sense because of his self-sufficiency to score. And he also becomes kind of a lottery ticket option, like we saw the Grizzlies do with Jontay Porter when they brought him into the fold, is that if the Grizzlies decide to go multiple rounds with their backcourt, perhaps they use DeAnthony Melton an aside and trade opportunity, perhaps they use another piece in a trade, then you've got Jones as a cheap source of developed talent that could come in a bench role and really produce. I think Jones's ceiling is likely off the bench. I do think there's a very good chance he could emerge, especially after being in the G League for at least a year. I think he could emerge as that type of talent that you see on contenders that really came out of, not necessarily came out of nowhere, but really developed besides a heralded pedigree into becoming a solid rotation player. I think that he's a short spurt type player, that microwave type scorer, not necessarily someone who's going to sit there and just hit 10 threes in a row, but can get really streaky, but he may have the ability to remain more consistent with his streaks because of his ability at the rim and from the three-point line. But due to his potential, you know, of being a big liability on defense, he's going to be a short spurt scorer off the bench. So that is highly valuable. But do you really want to put that, you know, put your lone pick in the second round of this draft, you know, into that type of talent when you have the depth that the Grizzlies do in their backcourt? I don't necessarily think so. But I do think that Jones is very intriguing. As a matter of fact, you see in the second round a lot of times where NBA teams will basically sell off their picks for money. I think that if the Grizzlies, I've talked about a few players that the Grizzlies potentially could trade up for, like Killian Tilly or Isaiah Joe. I think that this same type of concept could be there, except for the Grizzlies to come back into the second round and get Jones. So in general, is he a fit for the Grizzlies? Yes, because he's a self-sufficient scorer. He's the type of lottery ticket that you would want to develop. He's the type of talent that fits a lot of what Zach Kleiman is looking for. And he also is a local product who probably would definitely benefit from the culture and benefit the culture himself by coming into the fold with Memphis. So now, while I don't necessarily think he becomes a major priority for the Grizzlies at pick 40, I do think that his potential as a scorer, I do think that the type of player that he is and the type of profile that he has off the court, I think a lot of that fits what Memphis is looking for. So I think Joe is more of a target for the Grizzlies if they were to focus on getting back into the draft in the second round or potentially becoming a two-way option for Memphis if they were to have a spot free. I do think Jones makes a lot of sense and Memphis would benefit from having him in the fold, but I would do it more as a preferred, you know, a second option from the draft or through a two-way contract than I would at number 40. There's a lot to like about Jones's game, and it's clear that he has emerged and developed himself into a true NBA draft prospect through hard work and effort, but it's also hard to ignore the potential, you know, downside of his lack of athleticism and also just in general his game overall. I do think there's a lot to like. I do think there's some intriguing, you know, talent there, but I think that for Memphis, it would be best for them not to use their primary way to add young talent with the number 40 pick on Jones. I would, though, encourage them to certainly look at the option of getting back late in the second round to get him. Later on this week, we're going to continue on with these prospect profiles, looking at some other names going back and forth between the wings and developmental bigs and guards to focus on names that make sense for Memphis. I do think there are a couple more exciting names out there. We also, next week, will be having multiple guests who will be kind enough to come on the show with us as we lead up to the NBA draft, and we'll even have a few surprise guests who may help us out with a mock draft or two when it comes to our draft conversation. Don't forget, you can follow the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, the show wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, the podcast app on your phone. It's been a pleasure talking with you today. I look forward to continuing the Prospect Profile series over the next few weeks, and we'll talk to you soon here again on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.